Please join me again for just a word of prayer. Father, once again, I just stand before you. We come before you as your children in awe of who you are, recognizing your power and your majesty. But Father, so much more than that, recognizing your love. Your love that is, as the Apostle Paul describes it, so wide and so deep and so long and so high that it's so hard for us to comprehend. And so you showed us your love by sending your Son, Jesus, to stand in our place, to take my sins, our sins, upon his shoulders, to in a sense own them and relieve us of them and pay the debt that was owed on an old rugged cross. But Father, we rejoice and we thank you because of the power you have. And through that power, you didn't leave him hanging on a cross. You didn't leave him laying in a borrowed tomb. But you raised him to life again that we might have life. And you have exalted him high above everything. And given him a name that is above all names. And called us here in your presence. Father, I pray that you would just allow us to rest for the next few moments in your presence, but to rest in a way that we grow, to rest in a way that we listen intently to what it is you have to share with us. To rest in a way that our eyes are opened afresh and anew. Father, I pray as we embark on this new year that we can embark in just that manner. Individuals and a church listening intently to the call of our Father and answering that call. Stepping out with a fresh passion for the lost of this world. Father, forgive us where we have lost that passion or that passion has waned a little bit. Forgive us in where we have failed to be the individuals that you've called us to be. But Father, give us the strength, the drive, the desire, the passion again. Reignite that fire in us that once burned bright and clear. Father, be with those that are not with us today, whether it be because of illness or they're traveling or the weather is just so cold that they're not comfortable getting out. Father, we ask that they would feel your presence this day in some way, whether it be through a phone call from one of us or just in some way that they would know that you are still God and that you still love them. Father, just now I'd ask that you would calm our hearts, that you would still our minds so that we are focused on you, that you would set aside your servant and that you would come and that you would share your words of truth. Father, I ask all this In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. For the next 3 weeks, we're going to embark on a study of basically getting back to basics. We're going to look at a concept that I want to look at from two primary ways. First of all, is just trying to understand it. What it really is, and that'll be the bulk of our time today, is just understanding what it is and how it incorporates itself or should incorporate itself in the life of the children of God and in the life of this church as we carry out our mission, which is to live and breathe Christ by nurturing people, which in turn glorifies God. And so the foundation text is very simple, it's very short. It's found in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, and verse 35. It reads this way: "By this all people, by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Leaving no doubt, Jesus is telling us, here's how people will know that you're different: if you love. As I was thinking about this, something we keep hearing about over and over again in the news is this word identity. We hear it with identity theft as people are coming and stealing your identity for financial gain. Other people are using it as the word to describe who you think you are. What it is that identifies you as an individual. And the world has really messed that up. But I'm not going to dwell on that part today because that's not where we need to focus. I just want you to know the world has its way of identifying us and saying what our identity is, or a principle that's allowing us to choose what our identity is. That is in direct anathema to Jesus Christ and his teachings. When I thought about identity, though, what I thought about is, what is it that identifies me? What is it that identifies me as a man? And more often than not, men find their identity in the work that they do, in their careers. It's not a true statement for everybody, but more often than not, that's where they find their identity. Women, on the other hand, it seems, find their identity in their homes and in their families. And so the question then became, as a church, as a follower of Jesus Christ, where do we find our identity? How do we know who we are? We look at ourselves as a church and we say, our primary mission, our primary identity is to be who God called us to be. And he gave those marching orders to the disciples on a hill in Galilee, found recorded in Matthew, the 28th chapter. We call it the Great Commission, that says, go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age or the world. That's the mission of the church. Those things are the things that should serve to help identify us. But here at Monrovia Christian Church, we wanted to put that down into a more concise, if you will, or an easier to comprehend statement. And so we say, we're here to live and breathe Christ. And that's what I want to focus on today, that first part of living and breathing Christ. And so what does it mean to live and breathe Christ? I believe the evidence that we as individuals, we as a church, are living and breathing Christ is very much defined in our lives by whether we love the way Jesus loved, by whether we love selfishly or unconditionally, because Jesus loved unconditionally. He didn't love selfishly. So, this idea of love, if that's the root of what it identifies us as, living out a life of a follower of Jesus Christ, then the first thing that we have to wrestle with is, what is love? What is this thing called love? It's been said by many that love is an emotion. It's that feeling that you get about something or someone. It's how you feel. But I want you to know that as I look at Scripture and as I began to try and fully understand love, love is much more than a feeling. Love is not just a feeling. In fact, it's less a feeling and more about who we are. Love requires something of us. It's not just something that we feel. Love requires that we be willing to give a part of ourselves. Is that enough? Is that really what love is? And when I look at Jesus Christ, it seems to me that it's more than that. That love is not simply something we feel from time to time, that true love, authentic love, is a love in action, a love that is lived out regardless of what is going on around us. Love is something that we are, not that what we feel. Love is who God is. John, writing in his first letter, tells us that. God is love. It's that simple. You want to know what true love is? Then you need to get in a relationship with the one who is love. The one who defines love. And here's how he defines love. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 John, the third chapter. Verses 14 through 16. And I really want us to focus in on verse 16. Verse 14 says, "We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him." And then here is the definition. "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers." That's a message of sacrifice. Love is sacrificial. Love is not saying, well, if I have a moment, I'll share it with you. Love is saying, I don't have a moment, but guess what? I'm going to share it with you anyway. Love is giving of yourself, and it's not a giving of just part of yourself. Love is a giving of your whole self. Jesus didn't give part of himself when he went to a cross. He didn't give just a little bit of who he was. But he became love for us. And he gave everything. We've all heard that phrase, love is blind, right? You've heard that. Maybe you've even said that before. You've looked at something or someone and you said, well, love's blind. And really what you're saying is that in my opinion, as I look at that situation, whether it's a relationship or it's a love for money or whatever it is, you look at it and you've made a decision that, as far as I'm concerned, there's no reason, there's no real understanding of how they can love one another. So love's just blind. They don't really see it. They don't understand love. In that situation where this gorgeous supermodel is with a somewhat homely-looking guy, we'll say, that doesn't make sense. He's just after her money. We don't accept that they may truly be in love, that money may have nothing to do with it. We've looked at it and said, well, love is blind. You can't understand it. Love is not blind. Love looks past our flaws. Love doesn't look and see the negatives. They're there. You think Jesus Christ doesn't know how flawed we are? He chooses to look past them. He chooses, because he is love, to say, that doesn't matter. He looks at that individual. He looks at you. He looks at me. And he says, I know he's messed up. I know right now he's ugly. I know right now he's broken and he's poor and he's worthless and in the eyes of man and in the eyes of those people around him. But Jesus says, Father, he's your child. And that's all that matters. Jesus looked at lame people and he didn't see their lameness. He saw they were a child of God. He saw their affliction, because we have account after account of him healing those afflictions. But he didn't heal them because of the affliction. He healed them because he loved them as a child of his Father. He didn't judge them based on their brokenness. He judged them on whose they have been from the start. And he simply loved. And he gave them himself. He gave him himself from the power that God had given him to be able to heal, but he gave him himself in his time and spending with them. He looked at Zacchaeus in a tree and he said, Zacchaeus, come down. I want to spend time with you. There's a whole crowd around Jesus. They're following, they're flocking to him. Why do we know that? Because Zacchaeus had to climb in a tree to be able to see Jesus. All of these people are clamoring for Jesus' time, and Jesus says, I'm going to sacrifice for right now, just for right now, just for this moment, all of this, so that I can love on him. That's what Jesus said. And in one day, because Jesus loved fully and completely and sacrificed his time to spend and sit a meal with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was changed forever. Love's not blind, folks. Love looks beyond it. God knew who we were. Jesus knew who we were. Look at Romans 5 and verse 8. But God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Or for while we were still sinners at the right time. Is another translation. God, Christ died for the ungodly. The Greek word Paul uses there for weak or for sinner is this word that means to be sick, to be flawed, to be without strength, to be utterly helpless. And it's in that moment that God looked past that and said, the only way I can help them is to love them, and the only way I can truly show love is to give all of me to them. The picture is of an individual who in most people's judgment is just absolutely worthless, without hope. People we would look at maybe on the street and say, I don't have time for them. Jesus says, that's the only reason I'm here. To give myself for them. That's love. Pure, real, authentic love. You see, real, authentic love doesn't see what or who a person is on the outside, but recognizes that he is a child of the King. And as such, is worthy of everything God has to offer. I'm reminded as I think about that of an old song sang by Dottie Rambo. And some of you guys are over here saying, Dottie who? It's okay. Most of the rest of you are saying, oh yeah, I know Dottie Rambo. Here's what it said in the chorus. I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary. To view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. See, Jesus looked beyond the flaws. He did in your life, he did in my life. And he went to a cross and he gave it all. True, authentic love drove Jesus to the cross of Calvary. True, authentic love should be what drives us with a passion that cannot be quenched to lead individuals in our lives, in our community, to the foot of the cross where they too can meet real authentic love. So if that's real authentic love, how do we begin to learn how to love? You know, the first and most important learning part of a child's life are those infant years. And how do they learn? They learn by watching their parents. They learn by watching their siblings. They learn by watching those that are in church around them. Seems to me the simple answer is if we want to learn to love, then we need to watch the one who did love. Who is love? We need to watch Jesus. How do we do that? Here's the reality. God has chosen two primary ways for us to learn and see who He is. The first is by a thing that's called general revelation, and a definition should be up on the slide. It says this: it refers to a universal aspect of God, to knowledge about God, and to spiritual matters discovered through natural means. And then it lists some of them, such as observation of nature, watching things around you, watching people around you, philosophy and reasoning, human conscience and providence of providential history. Romans 1:20 says this, speaking about natural revelation. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. We see God in nature. We see God all around us. If we'll just open our eyes and look, and we can learn from that. The psalmist put it this way in Psalm 8:3-4. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? God and His love, folks, are present every day in your life if you will just plug in and look. Look through the eyes of faith. Look through the eyes of love. What love requires of us is eyes that don't look to self first, but looks to others. Again, study the life of Christ. It's exactly what He did. Story is told about a young boy living in Paris at the end of World War II. He's an orphan because of the very atrocities of that war and the German forces and everything that went on around it. Now, all alone, he had to scrounge around the city as best he could to find food, clothes, and shelter. Nearly everyone was experiencing desperate times, and most people either ignored him or had nothing to give to him. Years before, he'd heard someone talk about God and about Jesus. He'd been watching people, folks. That's what I want you to get. He heard about God from people. He watched and learned at a very young age about God from people. But when the war came and the destruction came, and it brought into his life this desperation, this loss of hope, he'd lost his faith a little bit along with it. One cold morning, he was wandering down the streets, staring into the windows of shops and cafes, and he stopped outside the window of a small bakery, and he could smell you've smelt that as you've gone past bakeries. We used to have a Colonial Bakery in Muncie, and you'd drive past that and your mouth would just start salivating just from the odor. He's standing out there, he's taking all of this in, and knowing he has no means by which to have that. His stomach aches with pain. The boy hardly noticed when an American soldier walked past him into that very store. He did, however, notice the large bag the baker was filling for this soldier with rolls and breads and pastries. And the boy could hardly breathe when the soldier exited the shop, knelt down, and handed him not one roll, not one slice of bread. He handed him the whole bag. He held nothing back. He loved that child unconditionally, without limit. The young lad looked at the GI astonished, the soldier astonished, and you can imagine the smile that was on his face and the love that was welling up in his heart. And he looked at this soldier and he said, "Mister, are you Jesus?" See, he knew what love was. He remembered Jesus from just what he had been able to see as a young boy. And he finally saw it again in the actions of a U.S. soldier. We learn by being with others who know Jesus, that are truly living out that love, that are living and breathing Christ in every aspect of their life. I think our prayer needs to be the words of a song that was sung by Phillips Craig and Dean, speaking about a dad who just realized the importance of the fact that his young child, his toddler, is watching him. And he offers these words in prayer. "Lord, I want to be just like you because he wants to be like me. I want to be a holy example for his innocent eyes to see." And then there's this line right here that says it all for me. "Help me be a living Bible, a general revelation of you, Lord, that my little boy can read. I want to be just like you because he wants to be like me." How we live, folks. If we live a life of love, it speaks volumes to the world around us. It reveals Jesus Christ in a lost and dying world. The second type of way God reveals himself to us is through what theologians have come to call special revelation. And again, the definition is this: it refers to the belief that the knowledge of God and of spiritual matters can be discovered through supernatural means, such as miracles or the scriptures, a disclosure of God's truth through means other than through man's reason. Through scripture, we find Jesus confronting the religious people of his day in John, the 5th chapter, verse 39. "You search the scriptures because you find that in them you have eternal life." But here's what Jesus says about scriptures: "It is they that bear witness about me." It's the scriptures that teach us about who Jesus is. It's the scriptures who reveal that to us. All of scripture, not just the New Testament. Jesus is written throughout the Old Testament if we will look for him. We also find in Timothy, Paul encouraging a young minister. He says in the third chapter, verses 16 and 17, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for learning about Jesus, for growing and getting to know him and learning how to love, for reproof, for correction when we step out of line, and for training," again, to learn how to be all that God has called us to be, how to be that love. Verse 17, "that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." Folks, if we are to learn to be people of real, authentic love, we need to spend time alone with the one who is love. We need to spend time in God's Word, studying it on our own. But here's something else we need to do, folks. We need to, as a corporate group, as a body of Christ, to come together and to dig into this word as well. Whether it be on Wednesday night at the Bible studies, whether it be in a home Bible study, but if you want to grow in the love of Christ, you need to be with people who know Christ, and you need to dig into His Word. And so I want to put a challenge to this congregation, to you as individuals, but to us as a church. And here's the challenge. I would love for us together to read through the entire Bible in a year, chronologically. By that, what I mean is, Scripture wasn't written chronologically. It wasn't put together in a specific order. There are passages in the New Testament that refer back to the Old Testament, and there are stories in 1 Kings that are told again in 1 Chronicles with more detail or less detail. And all of that, if we read that chronologically, I believe will help us to gain understanding. And so I have put together a calendar that will take us through reading the entire Bible in 1 year, chronologically. It looks like this. You'll see it's week 1 through 6 on this first page. There's a column where you can check it off. It gives you the scripture for that day. And I'm giving you Sunday off. You don't have to read a passage on Sunday. If you will accept that challenge, those calendars are out there. It's a 7-page front and back calendar on the Welcome Center. I'm going to encourage you to pick those up and to begin tomorrow with me reading through God's Word. And if you come across something you don't understand, then I encourage you to call someone, call me, call any of the elders, call someone that you know and can sit down together in a small one-off Bible study and wrestle with that text so that we grow together this year. We grow closer to God. We grow in what it means to love unconditionally. Finally, how do we grow in that love? We grow by making those commitments. We grow by living the way Jesus lived. How do we develop eyes like Jesus? Eyes that don't see merely the outward appearance of an individual or focus on the faults of and shortcomings, but rather look past them to speak and see a person as a lost child of the King. The first thing we do is we surround ourselves with people who are doing that, people who are living pure, authentic, real love. They're not perfect. They're going to make mistakes, but we can learn from them. But we need to be plugged into them. It begins, however, first and foremost, with meeting the one who is love face to face. It begins with coming to Him and admitting your need for Him and surrendering your life to Him and sacrificing all of you to Him. It calls for us to surrender our life, all of it, everything you are, and everything you have or think you have needs to be turned over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Because that's what surrender, that's what sacrifice is. It calls for a continual seeking of Christ on a daily basis to grow more and more like Him every day. And we do that again by general revelation, being around a people who know Jesus. But by special revelation, coming together and digging into God's Word by ourselves and in small groups, in Sunday school classes. It calls for doing life daily with Him at the center of all we do. That whatever we do, we do it in service of our King. It calls us to remain firmly ensconced, firmly attached to the one who is love. John 15:9, Jesus speaking, says this, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love." What it really means is live in my love. Stay, remain, be, exist in my love. Not just for a Sunday morning, but every moment of every day. It means that if we are going to be people of love, we must be attached to the one who is love. When the Coalinga quake occurred a few years ago, a lot of things were discovered. Houses that were built and were bolted to their foundation were able to withstand that 8.2 earthquake. They stood firm. They were secure. You see, when the structure is bolted to the foundation and the earth moves, the structure stays with the foundation. It moves with the foundation. It shifts with the foundation. And it's able to withstand those shock waves. On the other hand, the houses that were built in a period when they did not bolt them to the foundation, it's a perfectly good house. It just wasn't bolted to the foundation. It was a practice they didn't do at that time. When the earth began to shake and shift, the house moved 6, 7, 8 inches off of the foundation, and it collapsed. Seems to me the message is pretty clear. You want to stay firmly ensconced in the love of Jesus Christ. You want to live and breathe Christ every day of your life, then you remain attached to Him, anchored in Him, and you live love. You be love. Let's pray. Almighty God, most gracious Heavenly Father, for these words we give you thanks. Father, for the love that you are, not just the love you show, it is who you are. It's the very core of your being. May that be the core of our being. Father, thank you for showing us what love is through the sacrifice of our Savior, Jesus Christ. That He came and he walked and He set the example, that He lived it in our presence so that we could see and we could know what love is, that it's not a feeling, that it's the very essence of who you are, and therefore is the very essence of your children. So, Father, may we dig deeply into your word. May we anchor our lives and our souls and our spirits to you steadfastly. But Father, more than that, may we be able to live love every day so that love is plain and love is clear and love is real to all those that are around us. Father, if there's one here today that doesn't know your Son as their personal Lord and Savior, I just pray, Father, that your Spirit would begin to speak to them, that they would understand and that they would see and know real love, not love that's defined by a world, but love that's defined by the maker of all things, that identifies the maker of all things. Father, for those of us that have maybe failed to securely bolt our foundation to you, may we through your strength put our house back on your foundation, and may we bolt it securely this time into you, that we may live lives defined, identified by love. Father, we ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.